Now, turning this evening to John chapter 10, and I'd like to read some verses from just the middle of the chapter. Just a couple of verses, beginning at verse 27 of John chapter 10. And the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I want to take a few moments tonight and talk on the subject of our eternal security. How we can know that we are saved, and how that salvation given to us by the Lord can never be lost. Can you imagine even for a moment the emotional state of a child who doesn't know from one day to the next whether or not he's a member of his family? That if today, if he's a good boy, that he'll be considered a member, but tomorrow if he misbehaves, he might be cast out and a member no longer. Today he's loved and tomorrow he may not be. And he would be a neurotic mess by the end of it all. Well, the good thing is, spiritually speaking, that when we are part of the family of God, that once we are adopted into that family, we are in that family for all eternity. God has seen to it that if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are now the sons and daughters of God, and we can enjoy that security that our Heavenly Father wants us to experience. And that's why we read these verses tonight. "My sheep, those that belong to the Saviour by faith, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I'm told that when they were building the Golden Gate Bridge, that there was no safety net for the workers, at least initially. And 23 workers fell to their deaths into the waters below as they were working on the bridge. Well, the city of San Francisco decided to spend an enormous sum of money to put a safety net underneath the construction. And once that safety net was actually put into place, quite surprisingly, there was only a number of people that ever required the net for their safety. You see, the fact that there was a net underneath them provided them with the security, at least in their own minds, that they were safe and they were secure. The work actually went faster. The workers could concentrate on the job that they had been given without having to worry about the danger of slipping and falling into the depths beneath. Well, in order to be a productive Christian, we need to know that our footing and our future is also secure. And if we are going to carry on the task of winning the world to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't be worrying whether or not our future is secure. We have to focus on the present here and now. And that's why it's good to know that our eternal security is important and that it's taken care of by the Lord. It allows our fears to be dealt with. It gives us confidence as we go forward, as we do the work that's at hand, and it offers us the stability on the ground on which we stand. And so we want to deal with that subject tonight, that of the eternal security of the believer, that those whom the Lord saves, he keeps, and he keeps them for all eternity. So if we're going to look at a subject, we have to first of all define our terms. Eternal security, first and foremost, is for believers. It's for those who have come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're born again of God's Spirit. They've become partakers of the divine nature. And having been born again, we can never again be lost to the Lord. Now, we can all probably think of people that we know who, to all outward appearances, well, apparently were saved, but now, today, they seem to have no interest any longer in the things of God. They used to attend church. Maybe they were even baptized and they seemed to be Christians going on with the Lord. But today they have no interest in the things of God. They've never attended a church. They've no interest in spiritual things. What happened? Did they lose their salvation? Well, probably in all likelihood they were never truly saved to begin with. I think that's the general consensus. I think those who are truly saved and backslide, the Lord draws them back to himself. Those who never come back, there has to be a serious question mark over whether or not they were truly saved to begin with. There are some in Matthew's Gospel of whom the Lord Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7. And he says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now you'll notice that the Lord Jesus didn't say, I once knew you, but I don't know you any longer. Or I knew you, but now you've lost it. He says, I never knew you. You may have done all kinds of religious things, but you didn't know God, and God didn't know you. And so they haven't truly turned away from him at that point. The fact is they never truly turned to him to begin with. And I think every church has probably experienced a number of people who seemed, outwardly at least, to live for God for a while, but then turn away. And the question is, were they ever truly saved? If they've left the faith and stayed away, well, we have to assume then that they were never truly converted. This is what John says, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. This is the message that John says in this subject. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They appeared, he says, to come from us, but if they were really truly the same as us, they would have remained with us. The faith would have maintained. And the reason that many seemingly fall away from their faith is because they never truly had it to begin with. They didn't lose their salvation because they never had it. Judas walked with the Savior, with the rest of the disciples, for all of those years, heard the same messages, heard the same instruction. Outwardly to many he appeared like one of the other disciples, but he never truly was. And the Bible tells us that our Savior knew from the very beginning, and that Judas didn't believe in him and would eventually betray him to his enemies. So these words of eternal security are especially for those who believe, for those who are born again. So what do we have? Well, firstly, we have a promise. And the Lord has promised our eternal security. The Apostle Paul knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. Here's what he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul lists all of the opponents that he can think of, and he says there's not one of them that can separate us from the love of God. Death can't separate us. Even in death, we still belong to the Lord. Life can separate us from God, that he will continue to be with us whatever we face in life. Angels can't separate us from the love of God. Even fallen angels, kings and principalities and powers, there's no power on earth that can separate us from the love of God. There's no power in the devil or any of his minions to separate us from the love of God. God has made his promise that if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have come to him by faith, not only will we be saved, but we will be eternally saved. That's his promise, that we will belong to him. And so with the promise comes perseverance. And by perseverance we mean that what God has started, he will finish. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, the work that God has begun in saving us, he will carry it through right to the very coming of our Saviour. So when we were saved, who was it that began the good work in us? Well, it was God. He's the one who called us, the one who saves us. His Holy Spirit showed us that we were sinners in need of a Saviour. He convicted us of our sin, and then he converted us in helping us to understand the gospel. He is the one who gave us the faith to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And having called upon the name of the Lord, we were saved. We were born again. And so the Spirit of God is not only the one who convicted us, he is the one who converted us. And the Lord, of course, is the one who will complete us. That he never leaves anything undone. He doesn't start anything that he doesn't intend to finish. I don't know what your garden shed or your garage is like, but mine's full of things that I started but haven't finished. Well, there's no job that God doesn't finish. There's no job too difficult for him. And if he's begun this good work in us, it's because he intends to complete it. And if any of his children were to perish apart from him, it would mean that he had failed. He had failed and been defeated in his purposes, that the blood of Christ had been shed in vain, that there was no saving power with which to keep us. But the Lord has promised that he gives to us eternal life and that we will persevere. We will make it through to the end. We have his promise. We have this perseverance. Let me give you another P. We are eternally secure because of our predestination. And again, we're coming to Romans chapter 8 and the verses 29 and 30 this time. There we read, for whom he, that is the Lord, whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So the Bible tells us that God foreknew in advance of certain ones that he had predestined, predetermined to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He has predetermined their destiny. He has planned out what was going to happen to them. He has predestined them for heaven. And because the Lord has set these people apart for that purpose, that is exactly what's going to happen to them. You couldn't be in hell if you're predestined to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that passage in Romans gives us what we sometimes call a chain of five golden links. Foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, glorification. And so those whom God foreknows, he eventually sees them glorified. He already sees us that way. He already pictures us in heaven. He doesn't say that someday he will glorify us, but we are already glorified in Christ. And that's because our salvation didn't begin with us. It began before the salvation of the world, or before the creation of the world. Before we were even born, the Lord already had a plan for us. And that plan was that we would be with him in eternity. He sees us predestined for heaven to be like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what could possibly stop that? How could you ever lose your salvation if God has chosen beforehand just exactly what you're going to be? It's settled by him. I came across what I thought was a lovely quote by Charles Spurgeon talking about the subject of predestination. He says, some people, of course, have a problem with it. He says, but the men that usually have a problem with it didn't have a problem in choosing their own bride. But yet they seem to have a problem with Christ choosing his. Well, Christ has chosen his bride and he will bring her to that heavenly home. So we are eternally secure because of God's promise, because or that perseverance because of predestination. Let me give you another reason, because of perfection. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, this time, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us something of the perfection that saves us, that by one offering he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In other words, by our Saviour's one offering for sin, the pouring out of his precious blood at Calvary, he has made us perfect forever. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He hasn't perfected us just for a moment in time, or for a few days, or a week, or a month, or a year, but he has perfected them forever. He has paid the full price. He hasn't just paid a down payment. He has purchased us forever through his precious blood. Some people think that Christianity offers us a fresh start. It offers us more than that. It offers us a completely new life. More than just turning over a leaf and starting again. As a Christian, I'm made perfect in God's sight. I didn't just get a new start, I got a completely new nature. And by the sacrifice of Christ, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you can search the scriptures until you're blue in the face, but you'll never find anyone that was saved twice. There are people who think that you can be saved today, lose your salvation, and then you need to be born again, again, and again, and again, depending on how often you sin. But the Bible tells us that by one offering, the Lord Jesus has perfected us forever. Now, I know what you're thinking. He's not perfect. I know him. No, I'm not perfect in the flesh, but I will be made perfect in the eyes of God. And when I step out of line and disobey the Lord, he will correct me and he will chastise me, as he does for all that he loves. But I'm still perfect in his eyes, because he sees me not as I am, but as I will be in glory. That's why when we read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of that man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We're not saved by our good works, and we don't lose our salvation by doing bad works. The Lord has imputed to us, he has credited to our account, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are blessed by his forgiveness and his grace. He has taken our sins away, and they will not be held against us any longer. And therefore, in the taking away of our sins and placing them on Christ, and the taking of Christ's righteousness and placing it on us, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Why else are we eternally secure? Because of the promise, the perseverance, the predestination, the perfection of Christ's sacrifice, also because of our new position. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17, we read these words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The old creation was Adam and his children. The new creation is the Lord Jesus and his children. And if you are in Christ, you are part of the new creation. When you're in Christ, you lose your relationship with your old father, Adam, and you're brought into a new relationship with our new father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's true for Christ then becomes true for us because we are in him. When God told Noah and his family to build an ark, he gave them a safe place in which to live. Now, they weren't saved because of Noah's weather forecasting abilities or his craftsmanship in building arks. They were saved because God put them in a safe position inside the ark and God shut the door. God put them in and he closed them in. And during that time that they were in the ark, I'm sure that Noah may have stumbled and fallen down many times, but he never fell out of the ark. God put him inside, closed the door, and protected him from the storms all around him. Well, we have a similar position offered to us in Christ. We are now in Christ. He is our heavenly ark. We've been placed in him, and therefore we are secure. We're also eternally secure because of our possession. This time, John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. The Lord Jesus, of course, is speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The Lord Jesus is saying that if we believe in him, that we have everlasting life. That is, we already possess everlasting life. We are already secure in him. We weren't given a 10-year life. "He that believeth in me, on him that sent me, hath 10 years of life." No, he says everlasting life. Eternal life. A life that will not end. Therefore, if it could come to an end, it's certainly not everlasting. If it's an eternal life, then it doesn't begin when we die. It's something that we possess already now. If we could lose it, then it wouldn't be eternal either. It was given to us in the very moment that we believed. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath," in this moment, right now and forevermore, "everlasting life." Let me give you another reason why we're eternally secure. Another P, prayer. The Lord Jesus is praying for us. He is interceding on our behalf. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus in his great high priestly prayer said these words, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil." Now, the Lord Jesus has never prayed a prayer that went unanswered, because he always prayed in the will of God the Father. And so he prays that his people will be kept from all evil. And he prays specifically for us today when we read there in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." The Lord Jesus is praying that we would be kept safe. Our Savior prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not, and it didn't. It didn't fail him. The Lord is praying for you and I that we might stand firm, and we will. And there's one of the reasons why we are so secure. The Lord Jesus is praying for us, and his prayers are always answered. Now, I'll give you one last reason, then we'll finish. Another P, we're eternally secure because of the power of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and the verses 3 through to 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." There we're born again. "Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Why are we eternally secure? Because we are kept by the power of God. And there is no power greater than God. Therefore, when he holds us in his hands, there are none that can pry open his fingers and steal us away. If Satan could do it, he most surely would have already. God has saved us from the power of sin. He's also saved us from ourselves. For if we could lose our salvation, we most certainly would have lost it already. But he promises that those who come to him, that he will in no wise cast them out. Those that believe in him shall never perish. We'll never be able to even destroy ourselves. I think it's a tragedy when I hear people say that I made a decision to come to Christ and I can make a decision to take me away from him. That breaks my heart when I hear that. No. No, the Lord has all the power here. The good shepherd has his sheep hear his voice, and he gives unto them eternal life. He takes care of his sheep, and we are secured by the power of God. We can rejoice that we are eternally secure in the hands of a God who loved us, who saved us, who keeps us, and will one day glorify us when he brings us to heaven. So I trust that you will rejoice in your eternal security, that the Lord who has begun this good work in you will even bring it through to perfection and completion in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you, your thoughts to our hearts. Amen.